want to welcome you again to Pleasant Valley. And if you're on live stream, welcome also. Welcome to our pastors who are one on one side of the continent, Pastor George and Leanne, with their embrace firmly around their grandbabies, some of them. And Pastor Greg and Sandy and McKenna and Keely, and they're on sabbatical, and we're missing them, but we pray blessings on them in their absence. It's good to be together in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. Today, thank you, Andrea, and the praise team for your artistry in song, pouring out the love of Christ. It's good, isn't it? It's so good. Today, I'm honored and delighted to be speaking with Annalise Manns. She's one of our young adults, and I invited her to share today, to present together. We've had a really interesting week, and we're going to share some of that. And I want to tell you just a little bit about her. She and her husband Jared here recently joined Pleasant Valley. They're just to the end of their educational journey. Mm-hmm. Annalise is finishing her degree in clinical psychology. Jared just finished his chiropractic degree. And so we're thrilled to have them. One of the things that struck me about Annalise and touched me this week was her love for God. And she's a keen student. She has a striking passion for sharing. She sits with a lot of pain in her work. Mm-hmm. And bringing the power of Christ together with the world is one of her passions, and so I'm delighted to share with her today. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's impacted her life that we'll bring up later is being part of a small group, mm-hmm. and in that small group being known and loved and really bound to the heart, to the message and the gospel, and her passion for that. So I'm excited about that. Say some more to us about your...
About my journey?
Well, about how we...
Yeah, about how we met. So, coming out of graduate school, I was really in a busy place in life, and I felt like my priorities shifted to just surviving a rigorous doctoral program, and my value of just... creating space in my life to follow the leading of God became a little constricted by how demanding my schedule had become. So during summer break, I prayed and I said, okay, God, you know, whatever you have for me, I want to step into. And then Penny texted me like really soon after and asked me to speak with her. And I was very nervous and delighted because Penny has been a pretty consistent presence in our young adult group, and I have just been honored to get to know her.
They let me stay.
Yeah, we keep her. But she's one of those people I instantly felt drawn to, a sense of wanting to get to know her more. And I've really been honored to have that opportunity through this week and through Sabbath school times. You know, she has a warmth, I feel like, that just radiates out of her and draws people in, and I felt very drawn in. The other thing I've noticed is her passion for God and loving others and sharing who God is to people who, you know, might not ordinarily understand that or hear that. And as a person who, in the field of clinical psychology, works with a lot of people in pain, your chaplain's heart, where you're also sitting with pain and understanding how the Christian narrative fits with that, has deeply impacted me. And I think probably you all, from knowing her, have noticed that there's a certain depth that you can sense with people when they really understand human pain and how the love of God fits with that. So I was praying for kind of God to bring a professional woman who did a similar work to me, who was old, like more mature in years.
You can say it. It's
older
okay.
than me. And
that's where the warmth comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, the warmth comes from. and humor, right? Yeah. And I just really feel like God led to Penny, and I'm so grateful for that.
Thank you for saying
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Penny has walked yeah. with this community for a really long time and has expressed to me how deeply loved she has felt by all of you. And yeah. so I have as well in the short time I've walked. So yeah. just really grateful and excited to be here with you all today.
So we're going to sit down. We're going to share a little bit about the process that we've had together. Mm-hmm. But I want to have prayer. Let's sit first.
Yeah. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we can take a moment to stop from our busy lives and dwell in your presence and your love. Dwell in your Holy Spirit that is here with us this morning. Mm-hmm. We want to pause and create space for you to speak and work in our hearts, to stir a new thing, to create a sense of belovedness in us. And I pray that you will be with Penny and I, and with us all as a united body of Christ who mm-hmm. is seeking to know and understand you and have that knowing of you transform our lives. So yes. we open our hearts and surrender this time to you this morning. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, oh, you're so good. Mm-hmm. You've been so, so kind to us. And you've brought us across a far journey. Some of us with more years than others, but the journey still is far. So this morning, we do come to you and open our hearts and ask that you would transform us. That's our prayer this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So one of the things we felt right off is that since we only knew each other from Sabbath school class, that we ought to sit together and spend some time together. So we did that mm-hmm. several times.
Yeah, it was lovely.
It didn't sound super organized at the beginning. You know, we didn't immediately start on our talk. We shared a lot, and mm-hmm. I tried to keep up with her. I had my little notepad out, and she said such awesome things. Wait. and so that it went all over the place, mm-hmm. and we just got to know one another mm-hmm. in our journeys and similar passions, mm-hmm. and it was very precious. We had a conversation mm-hmm. about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus was with us in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say more about that.
Yeah, I think there's something so beautiful of, everybody being created in the image of Christ. Because when you sit with a brother or sister who is in Christ, not only do you get to know them better, but you get to know God better. And that's how I feel coming out of this week. Not only am I coming away with such a deeper sense of who Penny is, but I also feel like I'm coming away with such a deeper sense of who God is.
Yeah.
And that, I think too. That is part of the heart of what God is calling to us as church members and as brothers and sisters to be with each other, to know one another, but also to understand who God is better through each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to have a simple conversation about him.
Yeah.
So I saw a slide this week that I wanted to share and see if we can pull that up. You might have seen that. You will never look into the eyes of someone God does not love. You believe that, church?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question we're going to ask today is, are we willing? Are we really willing? Are we even willing to be made willing, as Steve prayed? You know, we start there. God even has to do that part for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say yes to that. So I have a story about a woman that taught me something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Out of my hospice work, I'm not going to tell you a lot about her story. It's pretty awful. And suffice it to say that she was maybe the meanest person I've ever met.
Hmm.
And she took a big toll on her family, on her children and grandchildren, who cared for her. She claimed to believe in God and talked some about it, but I will tell you that the words, the attitude, nothing matched that. In her dying, she was moved into a facility, and I visited her there, followed her out of her home, which, by the way, was very tidy, was really clean and well kept. And I remember sitting there sometimes going, whoa, this is paradoxical. But I followed her to the facility, and I walked in one day toward the end and had my guitar with me, and to play my five chords that the Lord blessed like manna. Learned those at camp meeting when I was 12, and he called them into service. What do you know? It was amazing to have stayed connected to this woman. It was a work of God in my heart. She was unlovely. And as I sat with her that last day, played the guitar, I walked in, and she needed to be covered, and I covered her and called the aide to tend to her, and sat with her. And she wasn't awake at first, but later she woke, and she was afraid. Mm-hmm. She was afraid. And I talked with her a little, and I asked her if she wanted prayer. She said yes, she did. And so I prayed with her that she would have peace in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there with her, something happened in my heart, because I'm telling you, folks, I did not love her. Mm. We had to go to therapy, the social worker and I, after we sat with her. Mm-hmm. But something happened to me sitting there with her. Something warm, something unexpected almost, mm-hmm. and that I felt the compassion of God for her, mm-hmm. and that he loved her. Mm-hmm. She was mean as a snake, but the love of God loved her, that overwhelming, reckless mm-hmm. love of God was there for her. And that day, it was me, even though it wasn't me loving her. It was God in me loving her. Mm-hmm. Because we're not capable of that kind of love. Mm-hmm. There's only one source of that reckless love of God. Mm-hmm. So this woman taught me that God is able. God is much able to put something in our hearts that we can't do for ourselves. And today we're going to unpack that, mm-hmm. and Annalise is going to share about our identity mm-hmm. first in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think what you've just described is something that we all deeply hunger for as Christians, to experience love of Christ in our hearts that is spilling out, helping us to love individuals like that woman. And I've been so blessed by a book called The Good and Beautiful God by James Brian Smith, who talks about a model for really understanding how we can create space in our lives for the Spirit to transform us towards this kind of uncommon love. And the pieces to that are establishing our identity in Christ, which is what I'm going to spend some time on, creating space for the Spirit and just being with God, and then of course being with others in Christ. So the reason why I feel like it's so important to establish our identities in Christ is because how can we truly be with others in Christ if we don't know who we are in Christ? And I think to really understand who we are, we got to go all the way back to the beginning to see that we're creatures that are created for love in the divine image of a God who wove love and the need for love and relationship into the fabric of our beings. Mm-hmm. So this giving and receiving love is so central and core to who we are. And we see this in Genesis 1:1. that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But if you go back to the original Hebrew, the word for God is actually Elohim, which is a plural noun. And probably a lot of you know that. But the reason that this is beautiful is because when we hear God is love in, you know, 1 John 4:16 and throughout the Bible, this isn't just this singular God being this sort of abstract concept of love. This is love originating in relationship between the triune God. God the Father loving and being self-giving and other-focused towards God the Son, and God the Son being loving and self-focused, I mean other-focused to the Holy Spirit, and that triune God manifesting the other-centered, self-giving nature of love. And that is the image that we're created in. So God created us out of deep love that was already fully realized in relationship because he wanted to further manifest that love. And I feel like knowing that is so central to knowing who we are in God. Knowing we were created out of love for love. Mm-hmm. Created for a reciprocal cycle of love as God experienced love. So mm-hmm. that for us being love between originating with God, the triune God, coming to us and then spreading out to others. This receiving and giving quality of love where we're giving love to God, receiving love from God, giving love to others, and receiving love from others. So
I heard a quote that said, the thing that we think about God, what you think about God is the most powerful thought you will ever have.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it impacts everything.
Yes. And so, you know, all this sounds really lovely, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, what happened here? Because if we look around in our world, and honestly, even into ourselves, a lot of times we don't feel loved. And others don't feel loved. And sometimes we have a hard time giving love.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a part of our story too. It's the fall. It was the first time we started believing a lie about who God was. Yeah. And the first time we started believing a lie about who we are. And this shaped us. You know, when I talk about narratives, I'm referring to inner core beliefs that shape the way you think about yourself, shape the way you think about others, and the way you think about God. And this is present in a lot of the work I do, discovering what people's narratives are. And, you know, so many of us and so many people that we come in contact with have embraced false realities and false beliefs about who they are. Really common ones I've encountered, and I'll touch on the ones I've encountered in my own journey, are I am good on my own, or I am not good enough. And a lot of times, those can really look like each other. I'm not worthy of love. I am too broken to be fixed. God cannot accept me. I must earn God's favor and grace, and so on until we have lost touch with the reality of our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And this has huge implications for us. If we don't feel worthy of God's love and we don't fully believe God is good, if we've forgotten who God is, then we're going to spend all of our energy and focus turned inwards, trying to do impression management or just muddle through the brokenness that is our hearts. Mm. And it's going to keep us from being oriented upwards towards God and outwards toward others.
Yeah.
So, and this is very isolating and cuts us off from that kind of cycle of love we talked about. And, you know, I've really journeyed with this in my own life. I was raised in the church, but for some reason or another, I really had the narrative that I wasn't good enough for God and that God was a harsh judge. You know, I believed that he was love, but I believed he was a judge first.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that had implications. Recently found a journal that I had when I was 14, and there was so much pain in there. It was a prayer journal, and I was essentially praying for God apologizing for who he'd created me to be, apologizing for my personality traits and the way that I was, asking for him to change them because my narrative said, Annalise, the way you are is not worthy of God. So the way I was with others was defended and so, honestly, so anxious more than anything, so nervous that they would also see that I wasn't worthy. And this is something that I have gotten to tug of wars with, and that people I've worked with are tirelessly exhausting, pulling between the narratives of who they wish they were and who they feel they are. But the beautiful thing is that we are not left alone in this. And there's some promises in the Bible that tell us this work of shaping our narratives to become the indwelling narratives of Christ in our lives is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not something we can strive to. It's not something that we can know enough of our way to. It's not something that we can prayer journal enough to. It's the work of the Spirit in our lives. And the Bible tells us this in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And we are in Christ through the Holy Spirit, what is good, what is acceptable, and made through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, what is perfect in Christ. And that is our identity. And in Colossians 3, 2, we see, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Continue orienting your attention to the heart of God, to who God is, to that you are created and shaped out of this perfect love, created for this perfect love. And then Philippians 2:5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then John 16:13, saying, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth.
Yes.
So we see here, we don't need to feel shame or fear or self-criticism, no matter what our inner beliefs are about ourselves, because all we have to do is acknowledge that and offer it before God to be transformed into the narrative that Christ is offering us. And man, there is something so powerful and beautiful about that, that once we fully understand who we are, then we can finally have the opportunity to fully understand the worth and value that God places on the people around us.
Right. Which is why he came, Emmanuel, God with us.
So that we could know him. Yeah. Jesus had to come to earth, not just to die on the cross, which I feel like Andrea's song made beautiful reference to, but so that we could encounter him in relationship, that he could be God with us, that we could actually know that God is love, not just know about God is love.
Yes. Skin on it.
Skin on the words that God is love.
Powerful.
Yeah. And Penny has a really beautiful story about how someone in her life kind of began to encounter this.
Chaplains.
Yeah.
They're full of stories. This was when Ray and I were still working, and I at hospice and he in the hospital. And it was weekend, he was on call. The woman asked for a rabbi, which he looked for and couldn't find. And he said, well, would an Adventist woman help? And she said, yes. And so I came to see her. And so we got acquainted. She was ready to be discharged. She had a life of trauma and had relocated from the Midwest to Portland to escape some of that trauma, and had really just come apart at the seams. And so she was in hospital and had nowhere to be discharged to. So this is not a story of norm, feeding somebody that's hungry in that way. And what I was struck with was that both Ray and I were impressed separately that we should open our home to this woman. So we had a confirmation, and the hospital worked with us. We made a contract for her, and we told her that our home was a place to live and not to take away from that, to take her life. And so she came. She was of Jewish heritage. And one morning she was, Ray was in his chair having devotions, and I was in mine, and she joined in her own way. She spoke multiple languages, including Hebrew, read out of a Hebrew Bible. And all of a sudden, she stood up, and she ran out to us, and she said, "It's plural. It's plural. It's plural." And she had read the Elohim, and she knew of the language enough and well to know that that was a plural word and a plural God. Mm-hmm. And it touched her. It opened her in a different way. She taught me that when we open the scripture in our church services, that we should give time for those who might not be familiar with it or put it on the screen. But she was trying to find it in her Hebrew Bible, which was backwards, of course, so it took her a little time. She stayed with us a couple of months, and I still have in my recipe, in my dessert recipe file, the rules of the cookie jar. She had never cooked, never been in the kitchen, and she cooked alongside me. We did just kind of normal house things, mm-hmm. and wrapped around her, and Ray and I loved her. She mm-hmm. was bright. She was just finishing a degree in women's studies, and 5 years, very, very bright, but had really never been in a safe place to be loved. And the Lord brought her to our home. Mm-hmm. She left our home to go back and testify in the Midwest, and out of that experience, was willing to have a change in identity. And she did that, which means she lost her entire schooling. She had to start again. And I don't know where she is today. But I know that she's okay. I spoke with her once after her new identity. And in my heart, I know that she's okay. And that she's remembering the Elohim. Mm. And it was... an unusual place of creating space in an untidy, messy situation that allowed us to love on somebody. And really, she returned and received that and blessed us tremendously. Mm-hmm. So in creating space, we have to open space. Mm-hmm. We have to create some margin. Now, you know, in this culture and this time, we live 120% maxed out. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Time, finances, emotions, mm-hmm. everything over the edge. So we're challenged as church to be countercultural, right? Mm-hmm. To back off, to look at our lives, to simplify as Annalise did, to provide just an openness of space where God could do something, where she could say yes. Mm-hmm. And so as we assess our lives and our busyness, we can ask the Lord, help us to create some margin where you can work, where you can move, mm-hmm. Because we want to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. The sense that you and Ray were willing to welcome or able to welcome that woman into your home is because both of you had created the space to receive that prompting from the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit and created the physical space in your home for her to have a place to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the concept of in order to be vessels filled with God's love, we have to be poured into by God's love. Mm-hmm. And the really encouraging thing here again is this isn't really the work that we can claim. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
That's right.
And all we have to do is just create the space and be willing to say yes, to be available for the Spirit to work and speak in us. And the Bible speaks to this. Our prayer life is a work of the Spirit. In Romans 8:26, we hear, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. This means that we're not even praying alone. Our prayer life is not even on us. The only thing that's on us is to pray. But God can even prompt us to pray. The Holy Spirit is the prompting sometimes that speaks to us, saying, you need to offer prayer for this person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Spirit is preceding us in prayer, praying with us mm-hmm. and for us. And that is just such a beautiful thing, that in our quest to create the space and to create a place for God to work in our lives, that is the work of the Spirit too.
That's right.
We just have to be available to listen.
Yeah. We, mm-hmm. as human beings, have a tendency to make things very complicated. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Let's make a new program. Let's try mm-hmm. harder. But the truth is, available and willing.
Mm-hmm.
Available and willing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need help with that again. But we're promised that that comes new every morning. We know that Christ mm-hmm. himself went by himself to be with the Father for the infilling of grace for the day. If he needed mm-hmm. to do that, how much more do we need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that in that pouring out of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
into our lives, we then can live out the life of God in our day,
mm-hmm.
regardless of who we are,
mm-hmm.
especially in who we are, in who God created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we receive this living water day by day that pours out. And it will look unique in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, okay, God, we say yes. We say yes. It's not harder or more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get an opportunity over and over again. We'll come up against our own resistances, our own comfort levels. Mm-hmm. We are the most affluent nation on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And people are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So what is our call? And are we willing to make that call? Along with margin and our speed of living, the Australian poet Lunig says this in one of his poems, nothing can be loved at speed.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can be loved at speed. We have to slow.
Mm-hmm.
And paradoxically, we get busier. How about that? I found a quote this week by Gene Vanier. He started the LARC community where Henry Nouwen eventually went. And this is how it goes. Welcoming is not just something that happens as people cross the threshold. It is an attitude. It is the constant openness of the heart. It is saying to people every morning and at every moment, come in. It is giving them space. It is listening to them attentively. To welcome means listening a great deal to people and then discerning the truth with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what God has done in us, with us, for us. And we can say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then out of that space, we're called to participate in community. To be with others, as Annalise said.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go on that?
Yeah. Actually, Penny brought to my attention a really beautiful quote that I feel like captures this so well. God wants to harness what he has made you to be in order to reach a messed up world with the unique combination of characteristics that you are. There is no one who can tell your story like you can.
That's right.
And your story can touch someone in the way that no one else's can.
That's right.
it is valuable because it will speak of the pain that someone else is encountering and the healing that God is bringing in that pain or has brought in that pain. And, you know, the beautiful thing is sometimes this is so small. On and off, I forget to create space in my life. I'm a yes person in every domain of my life, so I end up incredibly busy. But when I create space, the Spirit brings amazing things. And in the communities that I'm even already a part of, and I remember one time I was walking down the hall at school, and I passed a professor that I'd done a practicum with, and man, she looked incredibly stressed. So because I prayed for God to be with me that day, I feel like he led me to notice that in her. And I said, wow, you know, Dr. So-and-so, you're looking really like you're feeling the weight of your day. And she turned to me inside. She said, oh, I am, you know. She has a southern accent, so it's extra charming when she really says anything. And she went on to tell me about the conflict she was trying to resolve at the practicum site I had been with her at. And this woman is a woman of faith and has such a heart for service to vulnerable, underserved communities. And so I said to her, you know, before you go out and meet this practicum site and, you know, try to resolve this, can I pray with you in the hall just right here? And we prayed together, and I just asked for God to give her peace and to bless her in that endeavor and to have confidence that because she was serving people he valued that were in need of love and care, that he was going to be with her and go ahead of her. And, you know, a couple days later, she came by and grabbed me and told me how much that meant to her. So this is just some simple everyday stuff that the Spirit will lead us into. And sometimes bigger things, mm-hmm. like having someone move into your home. But sometimes it's just the ability to notice the people around you and attune to what God wants to do in their lives. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing here. The Spirit does this work too. That's the great thing. I hope you're catching this pattern that this isn't work we can do. This is only work we can open ourselves to have the Spirit do in and through us. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 14 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts are from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Yeah. Even so, this body is not made up of one part, but of many. That's us right mm-hmm. here. We are many parts of the body of Christ, each with a unique story to tell, with a unique way to love, with a unique way to serve and be called. And the Spirit is the one who will cultivate in you the sense of what he's calling you to, and will cultivate the sense of knowing who you are so you have confidence to do that, and will cultivate in you the sense of willingness to do that. That's right. So our ability then to be with others is flowing out of the love of God through the Spirit in us, and this is the work of God in our lives.
That's right. And so, how can we, the body of Christ, here, Pleasant Valley Church, been here in this community a long time, not only be with each other and bring courage and healing and hope one to another, but also to all of God's children in every one of your spheres, every one of you, God has called and wants to pour out in your place, in your person. Mm-hmm. It's a special, powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an average of about 325 or 50 who attend. We have more than that. We have watching on live stream, and we have those that are members but don't come. I'm telling you, that is a lot of power for the Lord's name.
Amen.
And I think that we are not quite unleashed. What do you think? But we can pray to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a spiritual war on. Mm-hmm. And we're not called, contrary to the current culture, to fight against each other. Yes? Mm-hmm. But we're called to fight for humanity. Mm-hmm. Christ has done that. We're called to come alongside, to be infilled by him, mm-hmm. and to fight for. Mm-hmm. And now is the time. We can't do that by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can't do it at all. We don't even want to do it. Only God can do that work in us. We must say yes. Mm-hmm. We must answer yes. There's amazing things happening in this church family. I wanted to designate a journalist to go from Sabbath school class to Sabbath school class and collect some of the stories, but we have a few today. Not only are those Sabbath school classes small groups that are holding each other, mm-hmm. holding in the pain, holding, supporting, loving, encouraging, which is what we're supposed to do, but they're reaching out. The Pathfinders are just being, are self-leading in many ways, mm-hmm. to reach out and do a powerful thing. Some of the young leaders last year formed a sports VBS for 3 days and did something different, innovative, and it was wonderful, mm-hmm. successful. Our Bible study spirit-seeking Sabbath school class down the hall, they support our Father's house, where they have a room, and this is a ministry for families, homeless families. They bring them in. They have a room, a place, and the Sabbath school class stocks it, bedding, bathroom supplies, kitchen stuff. And so when that family is able to be located to a home in the community, they can take those things mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. They get training in basic life skills and in spiritual mm-hmm. hope. And this Sabbath school class, this is one of theirs. They have others. The Explorer class has been supporting in a number of ways. Recently, through education of a family's children in India, buying a mission van for a man who used to go on his motorcycle but crashed it and broke his leg and needed something else, some other transportation. And our Sabbath school class was able to buy him a van. Mm-hmm. And recently help them with purchasing some property for a church. The Extra Grace Required class, in addition to, again, loving each other and supporting one another through the turmoils of life, which you know we have, mm-hmm. They're finding ways, and they have a fund. And a lot of our Sabbath school classes have help funds. I don't know if you knew that. But that they can reach out and use in the ministry of helping. Big Lake Youth Camp mm-hmm. has committed to whoever comes within their reach, including a station on the Pacific Crest Trail. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew about that. The mission statement of Big Lake is so moving to me, and I think it's also the mission statement for the young adults for the Oregon Conference, that people would experience a love so compelling mm-hmm. that they will spend the rest of their life seeking its source. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. Wow. Your sister.
Yeah. And so part of this, I think, is God puts calls on our hearts that are different, that represent our skill set and represent our heart for things. Mm-hmm. My sister, Shalene, has an undying passion for the women who are sex trafficked in the Portland area. That is such a burden on her heart that I believe the Holy Spirit placed there. And so she just said yes to this and has begun volunteering as an advocate 4 times a month, where she goes to the hospital when someone who has kind of gotten out or is a victim, who has been rescued. And she mostly is just there with them to support them and say, what happened isn't okay, and I'm here with you. And then, of course, to connect them to whatever resources are needed. Mm-hmm. My cousin Carmel, she lives up in Canada, but her and her husband have sponsored with some other small group members, actually, a Syrian refugee family to come to Canada, and now they're in relationship with them and helping them to integrate into that community. These are big things. In my life, in graduate school, you are kind of at a shortage of financial resources, unfortunately. So God placed on my heart to do volunteer therapy downtown Portland for people who couldn't afford traditional mental health support. And I journeyed with people for a full year and provided care that allowed transformation and healing in their lives that they wouldn't have had access to. So it's different in our lives at different stages. All we have to do is create the space, to create the space, as I think we are seeking to already. Even in our young adult Sabbath school class, when my husband and I first came, one of the weeks, Ashok said, raise your hand if you not only grew up in the church, but attended Adventist elementary school your whole life. Every hand in our Sabbath school class went up, and we were like, oh no, this is wonderful, but also a little bit disheartening. And since that time, God has brought so many people who wouldn't be able to raise their hand to that question, which is beautiful. We and Bibi and a whole number, Lindsay, a whole number of people. So God is working.
That's right. And that will be a unique experience, continue to be a unique experience of the Pleasant Valley Church. These are just ideas. It's going to be unique to your openness and how God shines out there. So willing to be made willing, willing to create space to be with God and be with others. And I want to call us once again to be infilled and unleashed at the Pleasant Valley Church.
Amen.
And now, church, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.